Good morning, everybody. How are we doing this fine Sunday?
Fantastic.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Bird Park Church. How's everyone feeling today? We doing okay? Everyone here? Everyone's here? All right. Hey, well, thanks for being here. You know, my name is Reed. Real quick, I just want to connect a couple pages there on each table. Got a QR code on there. You can scan and follow along with the lyrics today. So be sure to scan the QR codes on each of those tables. You can follow along with the lyrics and all that. All right. Gosh, and finally, the weather's turned. This is great. We've been freezing out here for the last couple months. We got a beautiful day. It is good to see you guys here. Thanks for being here. And, you know, this is a great location. We've been talking a lot about Bird Park Church, right? And have you guys been watching all these people walking by and golfers and all that? And it is just a great opportunity to be here and just be able to worship and allow so many people to hear the worship, hear God moving in this town, right? I love it. You know, I don't know about you guys. Who here is like an internal processor and here's who's like an external processor? Internal processors, anybody? Anybody like just get in your head, just think about things all day? Anyone need to just externalize it and talk about it? My wife needs to talk about it. And I remember sometimes when we were dating, like, oh my gosh, I thought we were breaking up. I was like, this is it. This is the end of it. And I was like, because I would not have said those things because I would have processed internally first. Anyways, sometimes I mistake thinking about something a lot as prayer. You guys ever think about this? Like someone will ask me, like, have you prayed about it? And I'm like, well, I mean, yeah, I've been thinking about it all week. You know, doesn't that count? You know, last night I heard some stuff about just the future of the church, and we were all talking about what's going on in this town, what can be done, and I just thought, you know, I need to stop thinking about this stuff, start praying about it, but also just the excitement that came out of what God can do when you fully give in to Him, when you pray about things actually, and actually have communication with Him. You know, these worries, anxieties creep up if I start to just get in my head, right? And I'm so fascinated in Matthew when God's talking about the parable of, you know, when he's sowing the seeds, right? We've all heard this, right? Some falls on the rocks and all. What's the danger to the word, right? What prevents the word from being reached? You guys know this? It's not the devil. It's not like noise. He says it's the cares of the world. It's the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. And that was just fascinating for me because all of my investments are losing like a ton of money right now, so I'm not rich anymore. So that's not my problem. But as the band comes up, I want to pray this, guys, with you that the cares of the world are what blocks the word. It blocks the word. So I prayed that today you guys would hear it, that you'd give in to God's word and that you'd allow it to just overwhelm you, that you'd prepare your heart for this beautiful thing that we have for us today. Amen? All right, let's worship.
Yeah, welcome. Well, let's get started with some great praise together and lift His name in this place. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross, you would lay down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you would lay down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. And I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Your love is like radiant diamonds bursting inside us. We cannot contain. Your love will surely come find us like blazing wildfire, singing your name, God of mercy, sweet love of mine, and I have. Love is like radiant diamonds bursting inside us. We cannot contain. Your love will surely come find us like blazing wildfire. Singing your name, God of mercy, sweet love of mine, and I have surrendered to your design, and may this offering stretch across mercy. God have mercy, sweet love of mine. And I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across the skies. And these eyes.
Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. Buenos dias. Perfect. Amen. We have been blessed with another beautiful day. Good morning. We've been blessed with another beautiful morning. But you know, more than that, we've been blessed with a beautiful life. We woke up this morning. We had another day given to us. This is the day that the Lord has made. And let us rejoice, right? And be glad in it. And so a thought that came to my mind as we were together in worship was Santa and I, we were at the Two Harbors Friday night. And the winds, I don't know how the winds were here Friday night, but the winds in Catalina were just, in Two Harbors were just howling. There was no doubt as to which way the wind was moving. You know? Those palm trees were like this. They were just bent over. And I'm thinking, man, one of them is, and there's one right by the window where we're looking out. I'm wondering, is that thing going to just like break and just like hit the window? It was just really pounding really hard. And yet the next morning, couldn't tell which way the wind was gone. You felt the breeze, but you couldn't tell which way it was gone. And the Lord started to speak to me about something very obvious. There's times that God shows up in a very powerful way where you just know where he's blowing, which way he's going. And there are other times, other moments that you just have to get a sense of where God may be leading you. So it's during those moments that you need to have that sensitivity heightened, more aware. And Every part of what we do here, obviously, is for the Lord, and it's to build our hearts up. And I just want to encourage each one of you, just to get a sense of what God may be speaking to you about throughout every part, whether it's worship, where there's the scriptures that are being shared, the preaching, the praying, whatever it is. But just get a sense of, kind of go like this, and your spiritual finger out there, and God, which way are you blowing this morning? Where are you blowing right now? And in 5 minutes and in 10 minutes. Because I think if we could just be aware of the present, be aware of the now, we will deepen our experiences with God because he is moving right now. Just as the winds are blowing through here this morning. He's moving in your hearts. He's preparing you for something beautiful that he has in mind. And so with that in mind, I just want to pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the start of us just laying our hearts before you in worship and in adoration and thanking you, God, for another day that you've given us. And just as your winds of your spirit, God, blow through our hearts and through our lives, I pray, God, that you'd help us to be sensitive to that. Help us to be led by your promptings, Lord God. Help us to walk along in your spirit, Lord God, to join you in everything that you're doing. I pray that you would speak to us, that you'd minister to our hearts throughout this gathering. And God, those that are watching online, we pray blessings upon them, that they would sense the blowing of your spirit in their lives, in their home, wherever they find themselves. Father, this is your time. We thank you for it. I pray blessings on Pastor Ron as he will be sharing. I pray blessings on Pastor Andrew as he will be sharing. Lord God, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Mountains are still being moved. Strongholds are still being loosed. God, we believe. Yes, we can see it. The wonders are still what you do. Bodies are still being raised. Giants are still being slain. God, we believe. Yes, we can see it. The wonders are still what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. Set our hearts on you. Come and do what you do. 'Cause we need a move. We need a move. And bodies are still being raised. And giants are still being slain. And God, we believe. Yes, we can see it. That wonders are still what you do. And we are here. Happen when you move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming. Miracles happen when you move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move. This is a move.
We are here.
And we are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. Set our hearts on you. Come and do.
As we just about sing this chorus again, just as a prayer this morning, it is amazing to commit yourself to the living God, just as Enrique was saying, we are alive and well because of his being in us. We live and move and have our being because of him. And to say that statement that we are here for you is an amazing statement to say, am I really here for you, God? Anything you say, anything you do, I'll do, right? I'll go where you go. I'll live the way you want me to live to make the difference for you and to glorify you in this place. And I just think it's just a sweet prayer to say this morning as we just really surrender our hearts to him. Maybe even recommit ourselves in that way. If we haven't been living that way, and just this morning, you know what? I want to live that way. I want to give my life more fully to God in submission to him. And so let's sing out this chorus one more time together. It's just a prayer from our hearts. We are here.
We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. what you do. Set our hearts on you. Come and do what you do, 'cause we need a move. We need a move, 'cause this is a move. This is a move. Hands and multiply, God, all that I am, and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire, set me on fire. Take all I have in these hands and multiply, God, all that I am, and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire, set me on fire. Here I am, God, arms wide open, pouring out my life, gracefully broken. Heart stands in awe of your name, your mighty love stands strong to the end. You will fulfill your purpose for me. You won't forsake me, you will be with me. Here I am, God, arms wide open, pouring out my life, gracefully broken. Here I am, God, arms wide open, pouring out my life, gracefully. Now, all to Jesus now, holding nothing back, holding nothing back, and I surrender, I surrender. Gracefully, I'm strong and I am weak. I will be free. Your power and work in me. I'm broken gracefully. I'm strong and I am weak. I will be free. Your power and work in me. gracefully. I'm strong and I am weak. I will be free. Your power at work in me. I'm broken gracefully. I'm strong and I am weak. I will be free. Here I am, God, arms wide.
All God's people said, amen. Let's give a hand to the band. They do such a marvelous job. And Enrique, thank you very much for opening us up. I'm trying to grow. I really am. I'm trying all my life. All my life. And welcome. Welcome to all of you who are here. Welcome to the Autoette crowd. Glad that you are here. That's really kind of neat. Welcome to those who are online. We are glad that you are here with us. And we do feel your presence. All of you, we feel your presence. Enrique, thank you for last week. That was an incredible message on Acts 17, where Paul is talking at the in Rome about the tomb or the altar, tomb, the altar of the unknown God, and how we need to get to know God. Essentially, we all need to get to know God. And as we get to know God, what is it that we begin to better understand? What is it we begin to know, not just about his love, not just about the two of us in a partnership? We don't just kind of take God and go off into a corner and exist, do we? No. We realize that God has planned all of this. The more we know him, the more we realize that God has planned all of this, right? Right up to this beautiful morning. Right up to the sun shining this week as over last week. It's all in God's plan. And who else is in God's plan, by the way? Raise your hand if you believe you are in God's plan. All right, it's a rhetorical question. Yes. We all believe that we are in, at least I hope we all believe. And the more that we get to know God, the more we get to know the fact, or know it as a fact, that we are a part of God's plan. And what's even better is we become understanding of that plan, better understanding. As he reveals more and more of that plan to us, we understand that plan better. And he reveals more and more to us what our part is in the plan. That's what's really cool about knowing God. And he does it in a loving way. Sometimes it hurts, because sometimes love hurts, right? But he lets us know. He reveals it to us. And he reveals it to us kind of in our personality. Some of us resist, and it hurts when he reveals, more than others who kind of give in. And they find it a little more pleasurable in the giving in. We come to the same place where God desires us to be. But the difficulty in getting there depends a lot upon us, or the degree of difficulty. As we get to know God, we get to know what is commonly called in the church and in the Christian realm, his calling for each of us. That's kind of his plan, right? It's his plan that we have for one another. I mean, God has for each of us. And we hope that we can get that plan through to one another, work together in our parts in that plan, and thereby accomplish more of his plan here on earth, building his kingdom here on earth. That's how it's supposed to fit together. Where does it fall apart? When the pieces don't connect, right? And is that his fault when pieces don't connect? Generally not. Generally, it's the fault of the pieces, not understanding the connection. But is the calling of God, I'd like to ask you a question, is the calling of God a noun, or is the calling of God a verb? I love it when Enrique starts talking about love as nouns and verbs, our obedience as nouns and verbs. Is the calling of God nouns, or is it a verb? And of course, the answer is what? It's both, yeah. It's not or, it's and. It's both. It's a noun if we're talking about a divine call to a position, say, in God's family, whether that's a child of God, or whether that's a pastor or a prophet of God, yeah, then it's a noun when it's called to that, when it's a, the calling is that position. But it becomes a verb if we're talking about the particular function that he is calling us to, the particular job, what we are supposed to do in that position, what that position's function is, the activity, the work to which God is calling us to. And he is calling each and every one of us to that calling. A man asked his pastor, you know, if Jesus knew Judas was going to betray him, why did he call him in the first place? And the pastor had to admit, I don't know. I haven't the slightest idea. But he said, there is even a harder question that I find. To which the man asked, what's that? And he said, why did he call me? Because these questions are not easy. And these questions are for us to answer, not really for others to answer for us. Yes, they can help us. They can help us. But it's going to actually boil down to us spending time with whom? To have him reveal what he desires for us. Helen, and that's not her name, felt God's call to the mission field. She also, she kind of had it all worked out in her mind. She was going to become a nurse. Nurses are needed everywhere, right? And so, yeah, she could get into most every country as a nurse. Then along came Simon, and no, that's not his real name either. Along came Simon, who made it very clear that he had no call at all to the mission field, and the two fell in love. They chose to marry. And they chose to marry instead of, or she actually decided to go ahead with the marriage instead of listening to God calling her to that mission field. She was thinking, aha, I'll get married, and then what will I do? I will change him, right? God will change him. And we will be able to go to the mission field together, because guess what? He was a doctor. And doctors and nurses do well in the mission fields together. At least that's what we hear. But sadly, after she chose to marry, he did not come around. Matter of fact, unfortunately, she actually kind of lost sight of her call, and she actually turned away from her Lord. And on the other hand, Betty met a man in Bible college, and they fell in love, and it wasn't long before they were engaged. They both felt a call to be a missionary. She felt, however, a call to be a missionary in Africa, and he did not. He said any place but Africa. And the two felt very strongly, however, about their callings, even more so than about their attraction to one another. So what they decided to do was to kind of take a break and seek God's best. Yeah, just kind of stay away from each other and connect more with God over a period of time to find out his best. And if his best was for them to get married, so be it. If it was not, so be it. And as it turned out, it was not. And they decided not to get married. And they both did go out on the mission field. It was a hard decision, but they broke off the engagement. Why? To sacrifice what felt good for what they felt was God's will. Their commitment was more to God's will than to their own feelings. And I think that is the better way of attaining God's best. They obviously did too. David, was he called by God? Oh, yes, from quite young. He was also anointed by God to be the king of Israel later in life. But he was called by God early in life. And he wasn't called early in life to be a professional soldier. He was a shepherd. And he was sent by his father, Jesse, to with some sustenance for his brothers. Where were his brothers at this point in time? They were at war. They were fighting the Philistines, nasty people. And as they were fighting the Philistines, there was this one big Philistine that kind of stood out, literally. And his name was Goliath. And David saw Goliath when he was there. When he was there giving his brothers what his father had given to them for sustenance, he sees Goliath, but he doesn't see a giant. Actually, he sees a dwarf. He sees a dwarf because who is it that he sees as the giant of his life? God. He's full of God. God is the giant that he is constantly connecting with daily. And because of that, compared to God, Goliath was not a giant. Goliath was a dwarf. I mean, I could just imagine being there in the creek as David's picking up the stones, listening to him say, "Thank you, God, that he is so big, because my stones just can't miss." And they didn't. And he didn't. So here's the truth I want us to understand this morning. God is calling. He is calling. Are we listening? Are we hearing his calling? He doesn't call those who are already qualified. No, as a matter of fact, what we find mostly is that God qualifies whom he calls. And he doesn't call those already equipped. As a matter of fact, what we find is that he equips those whom he calls more so. All good sailors and all good pilots know that if their ship or their plane are only 5% off course of their heading, they're not going to end up where they want to be, right? They're going to miss their mark. And over time, they're going to miss it even more than short amount of time. And the same is true for Christians and their calling. So we need to take the time to sit down with God and to find out what that mark is, to get our bearings straight, to make sure that our headings and our courses are true, are truly his. This week, what kind of sent all this off, I was reading the story of Isaiah in the book of Isaiah. I was reading about Isaiah's calling, his call, and I was blown away. Let me read Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 12. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, lofty and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filled with smoke. And then I said, "Woe is me. I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. And he touched my mouth with it, and he said, "Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away from your sin is forgiven." And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And whom will go for us?" And then I said, "Here I am. Here I am. Send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people, keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand. Render the hearts of this people insensitive, their eyes dull, their eyes dim, and otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed." And then I said, "Lord, how long?" And he answered, "Until cities are devastated and without inhabitant, houses are without people, and the land is utterly desolate. And the Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land." And all God's people said, I had to think about that for a while. Contemplate on it for a while. And yes, I was blown away. No, I wasn't blown away because of the vision of the temple, although that was amazing. It was amazing. It was filled with smoke. There were seraphim flying around and the burning coals to cleanse Isaiah's mouth, and made me glad that my mom only used soap. I was amazed the degree in which Isaiah's responses zoomed from one extreme to the other, however. And I thought, now that's human. I can relate to that. At first, Isaiah responds to the amazing sights and the signs, sounds and seeing God by crying out, "Woe is me! It's the end! I'm ruined!" But then, when God asks, "Whom shall I send? Who'll go for us?" Isaiah suddenly becomes that eager kid in the front row, you know, jumping up and down, going, "Me! Me!" waving his hand. Choose me! Now, there is no exclamation point in biblical Hebrew, but if there were, boy, you'd find it right there, wouldn't you? Because he was amazed. He was excited. He was enthusiastic to go and to do God's calling. I wish I had that enthusiasm when I had that calling from God. Mine was more like his first reaction. Whoa, what? And perhaps a question mark should be there instead of an exclamation mark, of which there isn't in the, well, there is in the biblical Hebrew. Because that would be more realistic. You know, "I'm here, send me?" And you ask, why do I say that? Because look what he says to him after he says, "Hey, I'll go, I'll do it." Well, it's not real exciting. In the conversation that follows, God tells Isaiah that when he goes, when he starts preaching, everybody's eyes are going to be glazed over, and many are going to essentially start to doze off. They won't be interested. They won't understand. And in response to that, Isaiah says, "Okay, so how long? How long do I have to do this?" Now, those human factors I can relate to. But the big thing is, he was asking God. He was there with God. He was spending time face to face with God. And in both of our passages for today, that's the Old Testament one. That's the harder one to view. In both of our passages for today, they are God's calling stories, and they tell us about God calling someone to follow him, to serve him in one way or another, according to God's will, not their wills, but according to God's will. Let me read the New Testament passage. It's going to come from the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. "Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them, and they were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down, and he began to teach the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into the deep water, let down your nets for a catch.' And Simon answered and said, 'Master, we worked hard all night, and we caught nothing, but I'll do it. I'll do as you say, and I'll let down the nets.' And when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. And so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, 'Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man.' For amazement had seized him and all of his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not fear. From now on you will be catching men.' And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything." And they did what? They followed him. Now, I like that one a little better. I can relate to that one a little better. The New Testament portion one. When we read this in Matthew and Mark's gospel, however, that same event, we often have the impression that Jesus just kind of randomly stops at Simon's boat as he walks down the shoreline. And because of the way that the story is told, many have the notion that Simon just up and leaves everything when this stranger just pops up and says, "Follow me." But that's why I like Luke's account of it better. Luke paints a picture of a growing relationship with Jesus and Simon. Previously, if we go back to Luke 4, kind of keep it in context, Jesus is preaching in Simon's hometown synagogue in Capernaum. And after the service, Simon invites him back to his house for dinner. And there, he finds Simon's mother-in-law sick. And so Jesus, when he gets there, he miraculously heals her from a very serious fever, healing her so completely that she's the one that actually gets up and fixes and serves the dinner very graciously, and she wanted to. And as the sun sets, Jesus then sits outside Simon's home, healing people from the entire neighborhood. And then the next verse starts, at daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place, probably to pray. Luke mentions that about Jesus a lot. He likes to get off by himself with God and pray. But the way it's written makes us assume that Jesus spent the night there at Simon's house. So even some more relationships. So Simon has met Jesus. He's heard him preach. He's seen him healing. He sees the healing power. There's a growing relationship such that Simon addresses Jesus as master. No, it's not the word that means Lord. It's like sir. So it's showing some respect. It's a term of respect. And it's in that context of this developing relationship, that Simon and his fishing partners leave everything then to follow Jesus. And that's the way it was with me. It's through a growing relationship that I heard the call, follow me. It's through a growing relationship that I heard that the call wasn't just follow me into salvation. It was follow me into service. In daily life, I hear that calling now. Follow me into service. And I said, well, I have. Well, no, I don't mean that particular service. I mean every aspect of service that I call you to. And throughout the day, there will be perhaps many. There'll be perhaps many. So what I need to do is stay tuned, right? Because God is again, he's like that transmitter. He can't help but transmit his will. He can't help but transmit his love. He can't help but transmit all of his attributes. And if we're not receiving it, is it his problem? No, it's ours. The problem's with the receiver, not the transmitter. And generally, if we look, if we take time to understand what the problem with us as receivers is, we'll find that our antenna just isn't tuned the right way. And so we have to develop that discipline of tuning our antenna so that we do hear him. And we do hear him more often than not as we practice that discipline of tuning our antennas. So it's at that point in time, it's in that context, that Simon initially responds not by jumping up and down, saying, oh, send me, choose me, like Isaiah, but he actually is kind of horrified. Choose me. Let's look at interference or resistance that we were kind of talking about. The Bible is full of God calling stories, from Abraham's call to leave his home to go where God asks, to the prophets like Isaiah, called to speak a specific message to a specific people, or Jonah, or Jeremiah. I mean, all of them. Specific messages to specific people, to the disciples like Simon Peter, who Jesus calls to follow him and do so in all that you do for the rest of your life. It doesn't stop just with the disciples, does it? It goes on from there. It goes on through time from there. It goes on to this time, yes. That same idea of calling, of God calling, of Jesus calling his disciples. And if we are disciples, if we call ourselves disciples of Jesus, then we have to understand that we do have a calling. And we have to then find out what that calling is. He asks us to find out. And I don't think that that's really news to anybody here. And you can do it more specifically, yes, if it's going to be calling as a noun to a specific position. But that's not always how it goes. It could be a calling in a single day to a particular place, a particular time. John wishes many of you would hear the calling to come help him paint his house and to fix it up, which many of you have. And God has placed that on your hearts. And God will place that on your hearts. It's amazing when we get sensitive to God's words. When we tune that antenna that sensitively, what we find God actually leading us to. And the word is everything. What we say are his words. Where we go is where he desires us to be. And that's how we need to live. And it comes to the point where we walk through our day, and what we end up being doing throughout that day is his will, continually and constantly. And we have to have that kind of reception, that kind of understanding, that kind of connection with him. That's what he is calling us to, that type of connection. Let's not have interference. And above all, let's not have our own resistance as that interference, because that's usually what kind of comes into play. Jesus' instructions, both while he works with his own disciples and after his resurrection to today working with us, are that his followers were to share God's calling, God's plan, and to share it with others as well. Yeah, it continues right down to today, for God still calls his people to put their faith in his son, Jesus Christ, and to follow him into service for people, to serve him as Lord in every way that he wills, in every way that he desires. So the truth is, we all have a call to be a disciple and to serve the unique way that God then prepares us to serve. What caught my attention this week about the God calling stories wasn't so much that there was a call, but how they, and yet how we also, respond to the call. I was surprised by the amount of resistance there actually is. And most surprised, of course, with the resistance in myself. Jesus doesn't spring the disciples' question on Simon right off the bat in this story first. No, he asked Simon to use his boat for a floating stage from which to teach. The crowd was pressing in so much, pressing him down to the water's edge. So he steps into Simon's boat and he asks if Simon would just push off a little from shore. And Simon apparently agrees, for Jesus sits down in the boat. And from a short distance off land, he does teach. He speaks so more of the people can hear him. And Simon is kind of a captive audience in this also, isn't he? The captive captain. There's also a reluctance that we have, especially when we find out perhaps what we're supposed to do. Do what? After Jesus finishes teaching, he says to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Does he resist a bit? Yeah, he's a bit reluctant. Why? Well, he's done it all night long for no avail. He's a bit of a skeptic because he's a professional fisherman, after all, and he's tired from a night of futile fishing, repeatedly casting out the net, only to haul them in empty. He's discouraged. Without fish to sell, he's anxious about how to feed his family, how to pay his bills, pay the taxes that the Romans push heavily onto these people, pay his fishing partners. They too depend on him for the same things that he is looking out for. He was probably looking forward to just going home, getting some sleep so that he could start over that next night and do the same thing and hopefully catch a fish. But he admits his sense of failure and discouragement to Jesus as he says to him, "Master, we've worked hard all night. We haven't caught anything." We can almost hear his mind saying, "And you want me to do what?" As I think about God's calling to each of us in the midst of our daily lives, I think there are many times when we also respond to God with a reluctant, "Do what? Now?" Maybe we've tried to be kind to a difficult neighbor over and over, only to have gotten discouraged by what appears to be a lack of results. Maybe we've reached out to a family member who's fallen away in their faith without anything to show for it. Because we don't see it, we think nothing's happening. But we don't really know for sure, do we? Maybe we've given generously again and again to programs that feed the hungry and help the poor, and yet there seems to be no dent in the need. Yet in prayer or in worship, we hear God calling us to put out into the deep waters again, to take that risk again, to put down our nets again. And I say, do it. Do it gladly. Despite his reservations, Simon says, but if you say so, I'll let my nets down. And what a surprise. Nets so full of fish, they start to tear. The boat so full of fish, they start to sink and break. God's surpassing provision, God's amazing abundance, which is what he has promised. The greatest catch of their fishing careers is not as a result of their expertise, it's not as a result of their skill, but the result of God's power to use people who will trust and who will obey him when he asks. Amen? Notice also unworthiness involved. And I think each one of us bumps into that as we connect with God. Standing in the midst of a heap of flapping fish, the echoes of Jesus' teaching still filling his mind, we expect Simon to fall at Jesus' feet and say, what power, what authority and wisdom you have. Please, 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 let me follow you. Send me out to do your will. But that's not what he does. Instead, he says to the complete opposite. After hearing Jesus' wisdom and after seeing his incredible power, Simon tries to send Jesus away, similar to what the townspeople did on the other side of the lake. Remember when Jesus filled the pigs full of demons and they ran out and drowned? The people saw that power, and what did they say? Please leave. Please leave. We're afraid. Simon is overwhelmed by a sense of his own unworthiness, his own failures, his own inadequacy, his own brokenness. Now that's the appropriate response. But that's not a response that should keep us from doing what he asks. And luckily, it doesn't keep Simon from doing what he asks. His response is a lot like Isaiah, who says, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I hang out with people who are unclean too. And the fact is, we all do, right? Many, many have responded with a similar sense of unworthiness, and that's appropriate. But again, don't let it stop you, because his forgiveness is the cure to that unworthiness, right? Again, he equips us. He gets us ready. Moses responds to God's calling to rescue a whole nation of people from slavery by saying, who am I that I should go? In Exodus chapter 3. He was 80 years old, remember? And he was an ex-con, a murderer. Jeremiah responds to God's call to speak of judgment and hope in a time of national crisis by saying, you know, I don't know what to say. I'm too young, Jeremiah said, Jeremiah 1:6. It's been discovered in the letters written to her spiritual director that even Mother Teresa told Jesus to find somebody else. She shares in her memoirs that Jesus told her that she was the most incapable person, weak and sinful. But just because you are that, Jesus says, I want to use you for my glory. Will you refuse? She described how she agreed with the request, frightened of the hardship and the ridicule that she would have to endure. She bargained. She promised to be a good nun, because she wasn't. She was quite feisty. She promised to be a good nun if only Jesus would let her stay put in her comfortable convent. But Jesus kept cajoling. Jesus kept challenging. He kept inviting. Will you refuse to do this for me? God's response to our sinfulness and to our weakness and to our inabilities is not to see those as obstacles to calling us to serve. No. It's not restricted to those who have a perfect record, or there would be nobody following him, right? Because we are all imperfect. God calls imperfect people to do his work. He perfects the work by perfecting us. People who are aware of their unworthiness and are often doubting, resisting God's calling, that's who God wants. He doesn't wait until we shape up. God calls us as we are and then works in the work. He works in the work on equipping us into his faithful servants. Isaiah, Peter, Mother Teresa, reluctance, resistance to their call, a lot of that came from fear as well. But let's not let fear stop us, because Jesus promises his followers, I will not leave you as orphans, and he has not. Who has he given us? His Holy Spirit. Why has he given us his Holy Spirit? Well, yes, to reveal who he is, but also to reveal his call, and to empower us and to equip us for that call. So we're ready. We have everything we need. We just need to listen to God's calling and obey. We need to listen and to respond appropriately. Will we? Yes, Lord. There's a lot going on in my head. There's a lot going on in my life. But because you say so, I'm going to let down the nets. I'll go. I'll try. I'll share. I'll speak. I will love. I will obey. I'd like to ask, John, would you and Carol Ann come up here for a minute, please? Here are two people who have, obviously, been called by God. You may think Jonathan's obviously been called by God because he's out here leading worship every Sunday. And yes, that is a calling that I'm sure that he feels. We'll hear from him in just a minute. But I'm glad that Carol Ann is here also, because she is also called by God. And she's called by God to the position that she finds herself in, because I remember the struggle that she was going through when she was deciding whether or not to accept the position that was offered her. And so, Carol Ann, could you just kind of tell us a little bit about how that process went?
All I can say is, I was a boat captain in the harbor at one point, and now I'm a preschool teacher director. In the middle was him.
Do I need to go more?
Yes, more.
Okay. I've been a preschool teacher for a while. At Catalina Kid Ventures, the director before me, she was always encouraging me and showing me, this is what you do in this situation, or this is where this file is, or, you know, just kind of training me secretly. Once in a while, she'd ask, I'm not going to be here forever. Would you like to, you know, be the director? And no, I said no. Like, it was no question. A couple of times she did that. But the third time, because I had been thinking about it, and obviously God had been stirring that in me, and there was just one time where she asked me, and I was like, okay, I'll do it. God, I mean, I didn't go into this detail with her at the time, but I just knew that God had changed my heart, because there was no way that I would want to do it. And I felt, just in your talking, is like, I wasn't equipped. I didn't have the classes. I didn't have the education for it. And he calls people and then he equips them. And it was just one of those situations. And I gladly accepted after God had changed my heart, and the Spirit just, you know, bringing all these things to mind, like, you can do it, encouraging me, you can do this. And I love children, and I love working with them and playing with them. I really could do the job. And then I would just kind of grow into it as I worked in it. And now I'm here.
Faith since then?
It's encouraging to know that just saying yes to something, even though I know I'm not equipped, or I feel I'm not equipped for it, it just grows my faith to say, like, I can trust God. He did this. I'm here. I've been doing this for 4 years. I've been a director anyways for 4 years. I kind of worked my way up. And just to be able to say yes to God in one thing, it helps me to trust him and builds my faith to say yes to other things, because I know that he's going to be there and walk with me through it, to get me to where you are. And we're not finished. So that's the other thing I have to remember. I'm not finished. I'm still working towards it. And that's the journey. So.
And then for me, just to make it as brief as possible, I just relate to so much stuff that he just laid out for you, but starting from the call as an individual to live your life for God, like fully live it. Like my parents, of course, were strong believers. Well, I mean, I grew up in a great like upbringing with my parents just on fire. My dad was an elder. My parents ran Awana clubs, and we just... Yeah, I was doing it, but I was living under my parents' faith for a lot of years. So about 15, 16, God called me, my faith, like your personal decision to follow him, listen to him. And so that was a big deal, you know. And then now he's guide, you know, he would guide me in my attitudes, or, you know, changing, you know, don't lie anymore, like watch your language, different things, like as a kid growing up. And so all those things led then in a life for me, the call was pretty clear. In Romans 12 is where I got my call about not conforming to the world any longer, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will prove that good and perfect, pleasing will of God. I was playing it safe in a lot of areas. The song we sang, Hold Nothing Back, is a great, great line there. Hold nothing back. Not live your life in parts, live a life in whole. The whole part of you fully surrendered to God. And so that's part of why I took the journey of a worship leader. I felt the call to just... live my life as a living sacrifice, it says in verse 1 of chapter 12. Holy and pleasing to God, this is your spiritual act of worship. So in other words, the way I live, the way I speak, the way I serve honors God. It shows and displays God to others. And so that was the call I answered. That led me in a life of living that, realizing that's how I prove God to others, is living that way. And so then I found myself doing study groups and different things. And then, of course, my faith growing to then realize a higher call God called on me to be a pastor. You know, coming into eldership with the church through a lot of years of serving in youth ministry and other areas, and then to become a pastor and do what I do now, realizing not only living my life for my own convictions, but then to shepherd others, to feel like I have a heart and a faith God's given me to teach and to counsel others and to show them how to do it. Like come alongside them and say, here you go, here's what he wants you to do and to lead. And so that's been the call, and it is a journey. And I do, again, I echo, I love that, you know, he equips you and he qualifies you, because you'll never feel like, you know, I don't even know what I'm doing. You know, like I don't know how to lead worship or put bands together and do this stuff, or write to put messages together and stuff. I mean, you just listen to the Lord and he will lead and he'll guide and he equips. And that's, it's awesome to answer the call. And it is an adventure, and it'll take you a lot of places, whether it's on missions trips and then, or being like, I've felt pretty called to this place for a long time. I've been here and I've gone on missions and I love those experiences, but he's really called me to this community, and yet he can call us in other places as well. And so it's just an awesome journey to answer a call from God, giving your whole life to him and listening to that call.
Thank you.
Enrique, you and Santa, can you come up here for a minute and share your calling?
Santa short.
Again, and this is great because, again, I like Santa to kind of lead on it, because, I mean, we visually see Enrique's calling here, and you can see him, you know, through town or whatever, but Santa feels just as called. I mean, and she is just as called, obviously.
Thank you. Am I on? Okay.
I'm going to help translate.
Yo quiero hablar en español, pero yo no puedo, so él ayudar. God is always calling.
Dios siempre nos está llamando.
And God is always wooing. He's siempre, wooing. He's wooing us.
Siempre nos está trayendo a él.
And he's also listening.
Y estás escuchándonos.
And all he asks is that we listen.
Y solamente él pide que nosotros lo oímos a él.
The newest thing that I've heard God say to me. Newest.
La cosa más nueva que ha oído de Dios.
Is you forgot the art of just sitting in my presence and listening.
Que se te ha olvidado a sentarse adelante de mí a escucharme.
The presence of the Lord is greater than anything you will ever have.
La presencia del Señor es la cosa mejor de que cualquier cosa del mundo.
In your heart.
En tu corazón.
In your mind.
En tu mente.
And in your life.
Y en tu vida.
So I invite you today.
Y por eso te invito hoy.
To just start calling on to him.
Pídele al Señor.
And ask him, what is he saying to you?
Y pregúntale, ¿qué pides de mí?
The latest thing that I heard him say.
La última cosa que oí de él.
Keep me accountable to do it. Keep me accountable.
Ayúdame a hacer, I forgot the word. How do you
it's
say
okay.
Accountable?
No sé la palabra, pero pregunta a mí después qué haces. Si tiene tiempo con Dios, esperar por él, ¿verdad? Solamente necesita la gente ayudar. Okay, that's enough for me.
You know, as you were sharing the call of Peter, Simon Peter, I was just reminded of the week that I knew that God was calling me to him. I didn't. y voy a traducirlo también en español. La semana que el Señor me estaba llamando a él, I remembered that I had this moment that I was sensing God's presence. Había un momento que estaba sintiendo la presencia del Señor. And I knew he was calling me to him. Vía que me estaba llamando a él. And I remember saying this to him. Y me recuerda que le dije esto. God, I know that you're drawing me to you. I know something is happening in my life. Y le dije al Señor, Señor, yo sé que me estás jalando acerca de ti. Y estás haciendo algo en mi vida. And I said to him, y le dije a él, if I become one of your people, I'm not going to be one of those people that stands up in front of other people and tell them about your Bible. Y le dije a Dios, si me llamas a ti mismo, no voy a ser una de las personas que se para delante de la gente a predicar de su palabra. And I'm sure God just smiled. Y yo sé que el Señor nomás estaba sonriendo. And that has been the journey of our lives. Y ese ha sido el camino en nuestra vida. There have been many times God has called us here, away, come back, away, come back.
Las tres veces.
El Señor nos ha llamado tres veces. Una vez aquí, nos fuimos, regresamos, nos fuimos, y ya regresamos. Y sabemos que como el viento sopla, and we know that as the wind blows, so we are trying to follow him.
Amen.
Estamos tratando de seguirle en cualquier manera que se mueve el viento del Espíritu. Mm-hmm. Y esa es la cosa lo que seguimos. No es porque somos, it isn't because of our ability, it's just because of our availability. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. We're just saying yes. We put our yes on the table. Before he even asked the question.
Sí, en la mesa antes la pregunta.
Ponerla su sí en la mesa. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so very much. Last but not least, if we could have Andrew and Shelley. And again.
Okay, so I guess I'm starting.
Start with the.
So resistance is like my middle name. Those who don't know me, my husband knows me. That's why he never takes no from me, because he knows my first answer is pretty much always going to be no do you want me to buy you this kayak that Enrique's selling? I know you'll use it. No, I don't want it. Don't spend money on that. What? Guess what? It's in our backyard. That's just the story of our life together, and I'm really thankful. But God knows this about me, too. And I remember going to college, and educators, we have a long line of educators in my family. Great-grandmother, grandmother, all of it. So, of course, I said, I will never be a teacher. Like, that's just, I'm not doing what everybody else did, you know? And I remember being a sophomore in college, and the Lord just was like, this is what I want you to do. And it was so clear to me, and I just am laughing, and I know God was kind of chuckling himself. It's like, you said no, I'm challenging you to reconsider because I say yes. So I said yes. Then, you know, long story, but God calls us to come to Catalina, and I'd visited here, and I went home saying, I would never live there. Right? No. And then Andrew did not influence me, believe it or not. He left me alone with the Lord, smart. And the Lord worked on my heart and was asking me again, you say no, I say yes, what's it going to be? And he always gives me a choice, you know? And so I want to follow him. That's where I know life is found. And so again, I said yes. And most recently, and by the way, that whole surrender idea and sacrifice, I just love what you're saying today, Ron, because it so resonates with me. And the fact that it is a process and it's a constant process. It's not like I one time surrender and there it is. It's not like that, at least for me. It's a constant. I'm calling you again, Shelley, to surrender. I'm calling you again to sacrifice. And recently I was reading a book about worship because my heart, obviously, I love worship and I want to worship authentically. And so the Lord was calling me to sacrifice because a sacrifice of praise is what his call is for us, right? And what does that mean? What does that look like? And so as he was asking me to sacrifice, and I kind of feel like I'm jumping ahead of Andrew, should I wait and let you go and finish my story?
How about you wait?
Okay. Guys, I just listened. Are you proud of me? I didn't say no.
I think it'll make more sense in just a few minutes. Good morning to everybody. You doing okay through all this calling stuff? You may be getting one as we speak this morning, so come back to it, okay? I want you to revisit it. But my strengths and my desires are in relational ministry. You've known that for those of you who are in my inner circle here looking at me. And watching online, you know that relational ministry is where it's at. I find my passion there, speaking into the lives of people specifically, from the context of one-on-one, which I really love, to small groups, to talking to everybody right now all over the place. I want to bring joy to people. I want to bring life to them. I feel like God's given me a message to speak, and specifically, that could be any size group. For the longest time, there was a shortcut desktop button on my computer, my old computer, that said shortcut to adventure. You remember that one? And I remember clicking on it, and to my surprise, nothing happened because there is no shortcut to adventure. None. There is a cost, a tremendous cost that makes a man wonder, do I have what it takes? Or possibly even for the next stage of his life, like where I'm at right now, the bigger question, does God have what it takes? Or is he going to show up? I love what Ron just shared. I loved all of it, as a matter of fact, the part of putting your nets down again. If you say so, I'll do it. The answer to the question of will God show up sometimes requires you to step off a cliff and completely trust only in him. And in some cases, you never, never completely know if you made the right decision or not. And in that case, Romans 8:28, right? All things work together for good to those who love God, and to those who are called according to his purpose. And in certain cases of risk, whether calculated or uncalculated, you may need this verse. Since February and my mom's passing, February 9th, Shelley and I have been preparing our hearts for what God may be up to in this season of ministry and for our family. This is the hardest announcement we've ever had to make and the largest struggle that we've had in many, many years. There is so much good that is happening right now that what I'm sharing makes no sense except for the fact that God has clearly shown us that our work here is coming to a close for now. For now. We came here to partner with God in bringing a message of freedom and life to this island, delivering a message that frees the hearts of people. It's Jesus, by the way. But to clearly fight against religious spirit. I believe that it will be a continual fight, but I do believe that it's lifting. And our relationship with God is all we've had to offer you. That's it. We didn't plan it this way, and leaving was never on our radar until this month, the first week of May, when it became clear that this was actually happening. We didn't start seriously consider moving until we started praying about this and praying through March and April. I had to make 3 trips back to the East Coast to assist in moving and caring for my dad, twice in March, once in April. Let me just mention the church leadership here was unbelievably gracious to let me go and allow me to travel so frequently to be with my family. Currently, my dad's health is good. He's been grieving after 72 years of marriage. He's grieving, but his health is good. And this has been very hard for me to try to balance my life and his from the West Coast back to the East Coast. So Shelley and I were also feeling a tugging in our heart with indicators that a new mission to family was emerging, and this includes grandparenting. And while we were talking about all this, back in March, there was no knowledge or announcement that Alex and Lizzie, our oldest, and their son Moses Oak, were going to have another child. We were going to be grandparents again. That was the Father's confirmation. Meanwhile, I come back to you because I want you to hear this part in the story, because it makes sense at this point in the story. Listen to this.
So one of the things I've always said no about was going back to Florida. I really don't like Florida, and I don't want to use the word hate because it's a little strong, but bugs, humidity. I mean, my hair, like, I can just tell you it's like out.
Hurricanes.
It's a mess. Hurricanes, running for your life regularly.
All the time.
It's not that fun. But anyway, so that's that. And of course, as the Lord would have it, he challenged me again. Do you want to obey me? You don't have to. Of course, I have the choice. And but that is what I want. So through some crazy circumstances of literally hearing a name in my heart and mind, God put a name of a person that we'd only met once. I didn't know his role in education, but come to find out he's a dean of students at a middle school, and he was thrilled to hear from me. I reached out to him just because God told me to, and I told him that. Like, I don't know why I'm texting you right now. It's because God told me to. And he is a believer, and he loved it, and said, well, we happen to have a middle school math position open at our school, and we never have positions open. Like, that's just a rare thing around here. Would you interview for it? And so I just started putting one foot in front of the other the whole time, you know, like, God, really? And so I was offered a job, and I took the job, and in Florida. And it's crazy. And that's it's just back to, you know, am I going to be willing to follow him? And I don't believe, I don't want it to sound like, you know, I'm this martyr who's, I get it. I'm not, this isn't torture, okay? But anyways, it's just a, it's a small thing, but it's a challenge that I'm sharing with you because I want you to know that it's not always easy. And this is kind of a glimpse of what it looks like. And I think it can look like this for all of us, you know, to some degree and at some level and in whatever area of your life that maybe God is challenging you. It's worth saying yes, because look at what I have here. And I said no to this. Are you kidding me? Like, if I had known, I would never have said, I'm not living there. This place is amazing. And that's why I don't want to go. But I have to trust, as Santa challenged me last night, to, that God has great things for me, as he does for you when we say yes to him. So that's...
When we share this with the elders, they have been wonderful to me. And hearing this, I'm very grateful for them. They gave me unlimited time with no notice just to share this with them. Unconditional support. There's nothing divisive here. There's nothing divisional here. There's nothing negative that has brought us to this decision, as Ron was speaking. It's a calling. It's a calling. It's a yearning. Even though we don't have all the in-betweens, what am I going to do when I get there? Well, I know she's going to be a school teacher, but what am I going to do? I'm going to continue my calling. I'm not going to become less of a pastor. I'm just getting a new assignment. For some of you guys who are retired, you're just reassigned is all you're doing. I know some of you guys, you're just as busy as you ever were. Well, that's similar to my situation. I'm going after the hearts of men and women and families in a very spiritually devoid place. Just like here and everywhere else on the planet, there are needs for Jesus to come in. And I'm going to continue partnering, sharing the gospel. Wildman East, I have no idea. All I know is it's a tailor-made mission. My dependence is on him. And what I'm really going to do is what I've taught you. Listen for God's voice. Obey it. Listen to the Lord. Follow his commands. Several people have already said to us well in advance, like even in the last year, you'd be crazy to ever leave such a beautiful place like Catalina during such an unstable season in our economy. And humanly speaking, they are right. Following God does not always make sense, but I know I need to do the right thing. Listen and obey. In just a few months, I have no idea where my next paycheck will come from. In our supplemental pay, I am relying on God. And if you're a husband or you're a father sitting out there, you can know what that kind of makes you feel like inside. But I'm confident that God is going to provide. The amount of risk with which you are willing to live is in direct correlation to what you believe about God. You cannot master enough principles to try to figure out every dynamic situation, nor do you need to. You have something far better. You have friendship with Jesus. You can have God, or you can have understanding. I can't even begin to thank you all for almost 11 years of serving here in this church and in this community. I came here as a 40-year-old pastor working with young adults and students with a desire to love God and love others. And I have so many incredible memories because no friendship that we've experienced in our past are like the friendships we've had here in this Avalon that are going to continue. In fact, we're working out how that can look. And we're hoping you'll get on a boat and on a plane and get over and see what God's doing. Check us out. But I know that the future for us here comes with these two words I shared in the very beginning, and that is for now. Enrique, it's been three times for you. For now. There's a movement that's happening. This will continue to be our mother church. My calling has not changed. I want you to hear this news this morning directly from me. Unfortunately, many times when a pastor leaves a position, there are crazy rumors that start flying around that shouldn't happen here because there is nothing wrong. We're not upset. Nothing. Actually, I'm thrilled to be able to leave with integrity and strong leadership support. And what you just heard in this sermon and what you've just heard through spoken testimony is that when God speaks, you follow him and you do what you need to do. My family needs me. My father needs me. He needs our care. So now you can say you heard it straight from the horse's mouth or the donkey's, whichever you prefer. I've learned this important truth from Rick Warren at a conference a couple years ago, and I respect him deeply. God calls us through the church, not to the church. And I know that's hard to hear. But as you are being equipped by the saints here, you better get out there and do what God calls you to do, because you're going to miss the blessing if not. And right now, for most of you, if not everyone here, it's here. You stay put. Don't go anywhere unless you're called. Answer the call. Put out the fleece. Put the nets back in the water a second time. See what happens. We'll be here through summer. Shelley, most of July. We're not leaving next week. We're going to continue helping the transition. These are very, very powerful ministries that belong to Jesus here. We must protect them from the enemy and his opposition. This has never been about us, but who we have stacked hands with here and what Jesus is all about. So we're going to help with that transition. This is a for now situation, and I can't wait for the Lord to show us the rest of the journey when it continues. If you guys would stand with me and John. I'm so blessed to have all of you listening this morning, both online and present. It's been a longer message today, but it's full of nuggets. It's full of good things for you and your heart. Listen to the Lord. Follow his commands. If you'd close your eyes with me, I share this verse from Jude chapter 1. Is there a Jude in the Bible? There is a Jude in the Bible. Chapter 1, verse 24 and 25 says this. Now to him who can keep you on your feet, standing tall in his bright presence, fresh and celebrating, to our one God, our only Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Master, be glory, majesty, strength, and rule before all time, and now, and to the end of all time. Yes. Father, that is our prayer this morning. Eyes on you. What is your calling in our heart? As Ron said, it could be somewhere far away, or it could be right next door, or a relationship in your own family. It might be an appreciation card, or it might be a reconciliation card or text. Some of those are the hardest to make. Accept the calling of God in your life. Look for the blessing that comes afterwards. Yes, there will be a cost. And yes, it will take sacrifice. Are you willing to put it on there? Are you willing to put out the fleece? What could he be up to in your life? The church's history here has never been better. The future is looking so unified and so beautiful. And in all awe, I stand in wonder and say thank you for giving us 10 and a half years of pressing into these relationships and relational ministry, bringing freedom in the message of Jesus. I count it all joy. And Father, I pray against religious spirit and just anything that the foul spirit that are out there and our enemy would want to do or undo in opposition. I pray the name of Jesus against those things. Protect us from the enemy. This is your doing. And all of it is as a result of who you are and what you're up to in the lives of your people, your bride.
I give it to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. As we close out in song together, song is called Great Things, and as in each of these testimonies today, there's just great things to be said and to celebrate it because of what God does in the midst of all of that, all those decisions. And so let's close out as we sing this song together. Worship our King. Come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things. And He has done great things. Of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh God, you have done great things. You've been faithful through every storm. You'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things. And I know you will do it again. For your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things. And God, you do great things. Conquered the grave, you free every captive and break every chain. Oh God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh God, you have done great things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things. Yeah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Done great things, you have done great things. Oh hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh God, you have done great things. Hallelujah. All God's people said, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great rest of your day and weekend.